August 26th regular board meeting. Roll call, please.
Kraft?
Here.
Lozinski?
Here.
Fanouken?
Here.
Stoll?
Here.
Winter?
Here.
Okay, let's stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I want to welcome everybody here. It's nice to see so many smiling faces on a Monday night. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Fanouken?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, at this time, we have our first hearing of the public, which must be related to an agenda item. So if you wish to come forward and speak, please come to the podium and state your name and address. Seeing no one. Okay. So are we just going to remove the July 22nd?
Yes, okay. If that's okay with you.
Okay, so at this time, the board members have had a chance to review the minutes of the meeting of July 15th, our special meeting, and I will ask if there are any additions or corrections to those minutes.
None.
Okay, so if you are in agreement to approve them, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? No.
And just for the record, for the audio, this is for the July 15th meeting only.
Yes.
The July 22nd will approve at the next board meeting.
Okay, at this time we have our informative reports and recognition. So up first is the French Club.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Sinalis, and here's my colleague, Laura Hummer, and we are two of the French teachers at the school. And we're really excited to be able to come here today to talk about some of the great work that our French students have done on the National French Program. So this past spring, several of our students participated in the National French Exam, which is known as Le Grand Concours. It's an annual competition. It's sponsored by the American Association of Teachers of French. Students in grades 1 through 12 are eligible to take it, and they're competing against students of similar backgrounds. There were 70,142 participants nationwide, and we had a lot of really wonderful placements, so we're going to tell you a little bit more about those.
So like Elizabeth just said, we opened it up to all of our students at the high school, and we had, I think, about 75 participate this year, and just around half of them actually received some level of award. So this was like our year. So we're really excited to be able to show off a little bit what our students did. So we did have quite a few more take it, but we thought we would focus on who actually came tonight and you guys get to come up here, and the board wants to recognize you, and there's actually a little certificate for you. So. Yay. Okay. So there were four levels of awards that are possible. There's the Mention d'honneur, there's a bronze and a silver, and a gold award. So I'll start with our bronze award recipients. To get a bronze award, you place within the 75th to the 80th percentile. So we have Jessica Barrick, who got a bronze award, Laura Novelka, and Jack Williams. They also had the level 4 exam and got the bronze award. The next level up was for the silver award. That's between the 85th or the 90th percentile. And Aya got a silver award for the level 2 exam this year. And she loves being put on the spot. But Zara got a gold award, which means that she was in the 95th percentile or above. So she took also the level 4 exam and got her gold award. So please give us a round. That's all.
That's so exciting.
Anusha just walked in. Okay, I'm sorry, that's Anusha. Anusha took the level 2 exam and she also got a gold award. So she was in the
So I'm curious, after we get all the pictures, it'd be fun to hear from the students, you know, where they've practiced using.
I like that idea. Wouldn't mind hearing a little bit of conversation.
I want to hear a little bit more about, yeah.
She would love to.
So they were just.
Yeah. I actually went to France with Madame Singales.
Oh, wonderful.
Summer, and some other students, so that was a really cool experience.
What was your favorite part of the trip?
I'd say Paris, honestly. I don't know if that's basic, but when I got there, there were so many things that you only see in pictures, and then they were just there. We were right, our hotel was right by the Arc de Triomphe, and it was just there. It was really crazy. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you have fun speaking the language? And
yeah. Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard.
But I got by. We got by.
Yeah, it's amazing. And how long were you there? For about a week?
A little over a week.
So what you have to do is work on parents to see if you could go for a month. Because once you're there for a month, you really, pick up so much. You're really speaking much more fluently. So just going to throw that out there.
Or go again next year, too.
Yeah. And what about others using planting ideas? So what about others? Where have you used your French or intend to use your French? Do you have any plans to travel or use it in university, college?
I went to India this summer, and we didn't take a direct flight. We actually stopped at Paris,
and
I got to talk to a lot of people there and ask for directions and stuff in French.
Oh, cool. That's wonderful. Was your family really grateful that you were there?
I told all the French people that I could speak French. And then they all started talking to me in basic French, so that was
That is awesome.
I have the good fortune to be a Rotary, and this year a young lady from Thailand will be living in our home and actually attending Westlake High School as a sophomore. So if you would keep an eye out for playing and get to know her a little bit. But along those lines, she has been studying English for many, many years and had a desire to come to the U.S. and be immersed and be able to use the language, etc. Know that Rotary International is an opportunity to do such either study abroad as a Rotary International student. Any thoughts amongst any of you spending some time in another country for an extended period of time to work on your French and broaden your education?
Something to think about.
Maybe.
Give it some consideration. What's that?
Maybe someday.
Absolutely. Give it some consideration, and if you want to learn a little bit more about Rotary International Student Exchange, don't hesitate to reach out.
And Mr. Mangles, didn't your daughter spend a year?
She spent a year in France.
Yeah.
Through Rotary, the Rotary program. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Thank you.
And we're all very proud of you and very, very happy for your experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations.
And please, and to our students, don't feel like you have to stay. You are welcome to stay for the rest of our meeting, but we know that you're getting ready to start the school year, so please feel free to take the rest of the evening.
Unless you're taking government, if you're taking a government class, you already know the rest of the evening. You're done.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Teachers too. You don't feel like you have to.
Oh, we're also listening.
Yes.
Yeah, we're.
You don't have to be because this is just good fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the CAC report.
Do you want us to do that now or do it all again?
No, you can do that now and then we'll do the okay. In just a little bit.
Okay, so we'll split it up. Okay. Andrew Mangles of Westlake Porter Public Library, but also a co-chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee with Mary Essig. We started up our research, researching our research topics, for 2019-2020. After a really good year of doing a couple of topics last year, we met a month ago to brainstorm topic ideas to see what people were thinking. We reviewed the list of old topics that because we always generate a list, and some went out and some aren't bad ideas, they just didn't went out, so we review those and throw in new ideas as well. For your consideration, we narrowed it down to three potential topics that we felt were a high priority to investigate. And the first would be to reevaluate current program and identify best practices for service learning requirements at the high school level. Second was to identify best practices for defining and enforcing student dress codes, including potential use of uniforms. And third, identify best practices for improving sustainability at all schools within Westlake City School District. We feel that these topics are indicative of things that we are hearing in the community from people that we talk to, as well as concerns that people in the committee have had. And we also try and keep an eye on the continuous improvement plan, what's happening there, are there things that we should be looking at, but also what is in the news. And interestingly enough, one of the topics that we kind of set aside was the use of having cell phones in classrooms. And we, maybe that's a topic for another time. And the next day there was an article, I think is it the Los Angeles School District is saying, you know, so we thought, wow, that's kind of, and we discussed that and said, well, it's still pretty new, maybe that's a topic to wait a year or so till more data is kind of gathered on that. So that we do pay attention to the headlines and what's going on in districts when we think about our recommendations. So I believe those were all presented to you. What we're here tonight for is to get any sense of feedback about your thought on these topics. And the reason we do that is there may be something you're already working on that we were unaware of. Like, oh, you know what, we've already got that locked down. We've got somebody working on it. Or that's not something that we're particularly interested in. You can do the research, but honestly, we're not going to take it up. Or that's a great topic. We really want to know more about it, and we'd love if you took on that particular topic. So we're really here to just kind of get your feedback. Now, keep in mind that later in the evening, we're going to ask you to approve potentially three new members to the CAC, which is growing our ranks, which is awesome. That would give us the ability to potentially, we were leaning towards just picking one topic again this year because splitting up and doing two topics was a lot. But particularly with new members, the opportunity to maybe take on two topics would be there. So the three that are before you, if there's another topic that you wanted to throw at us for consideration, we'd accept that as well. But really guidance at this point from the board.
May I ask you on sustainability, can you provide any more about what you're thinking there? Or, hey, that's the topic and that's what we're going to spend our time on?
Well, I think in terms of sustainability, and Mary can help me as well, but I think a lot of that was around recycling efforts, and you know, we know certainly with the new school, sustainability is built into the new school, but what about maybe the schools that are already a few years older, and what does that mean, making sure that we have the right programs in. And I think it falls in that category of every time you think you've got it locked down, brand new building, and we're pretty, then there's always something new coming mm-hmm. along. How do we mm-hmm. keep remaining sustainable within the stream of supplies and materials we have?
If I may, I always forget her real name. It's very easy for me to remember Big Mama. The presentation on technology.
Jesse Weinberg?
Yes, okay. Last spring. Mm-hmm. And I know I've chatted with a number of folks in the community, specifically along the recommendation, hey, Westlake City Schools, you should get your phones out of the classroom, out of the schools.
Yeah, it was, again, we definitely discussed that, but you're seeing, kind of wanted to hear more about that from the board as well.
So you would suggest that they study whether or not phones should be allowed in the classroom?
Correct.
And currently, they're really not, except if they're being used for the educational purposes, because we do have the
right
policy.
And I need to correct myself more so. I think Jesse was really suggesting out of the school. I don't know if that is a topic.
Well, and so the LA model, I think what they're talking about is, because the pushback, I think, comes from parents who want to make sure that their child is accessible mm-hmm. in emergencies more yep. than anything else.
Yeah.
Versus the, you know, perhaps teachers who say, well, they're only for classroom activities, but in the interview they had some quotes from kids who said, yeah, I was constantly checking my status, you know, profile of likes and all those kinds mm-hmm. of things. So what they seem to be implementing there, there's a for lack of a better term, a pouch, I guess, mm-hmm. that your phone can go into that becomes locked by the district. And then I think I have this right, and if you know more than I do, I just read it pretty quickly, but what would happen in the event of an emergency, think of, I guess, like jamming and unjamming, the pouches can be remotely unlocked and students can get their phones out. And they did a test of it and said within minutes the entire school, everybody was able to retrieve their, so they still physically have their phone mm-hmm. in case of an emergency, but it's in a locked case that they can't get to mm-hmm. in, unless the district decides that it's necessary. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting compromise.
Kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Some of the teachers at the high school provide the basket.
Right, right.
Or they use the old calculator things to use.
Yeah, and to encourage it, some of them give extra credit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think in that case, in an emergency, if you've got a basket full of phones and you're worried about a lockdown or something, trying to sort through those phones.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing, right, that we do. We do that research and say, baskets is one solution, shoe tree is another solution, but these nifty little pouches that the student holds onto their phone, and in an active shoot or something, they would be unlocked and they could get their phone out in that scenario.
And parents would definitely, I just know as a parent, I would like to have that communication.
Right. And I think that whatever research we would certainly want to lead with, more not the how do I unlock the phone? You would look at best practices for that, but the real issue is are students being attentive in class? Mm-hmm. How is it helping with overall anxiety? Mm-hmm. That was one of our past topics, was the health and wellness of students. And if we're talking about stress and anxiety and phones are in fact leading to this, you know, is it sustainable to keep that model? Mm-hmm. So, we can certainly take that back to the committee as feedback from the board. Mm-hmm.
We have the same discussion at university level, and we actually leave it up to the professor to allow or not allow those, because I, for example, as a professor, I believe that the students, if you use the phones correctly, you can get them engaged and they can learn a lot more. Other people feel that, you know, they don't belong in the classroom. So you got to look at both sides of it, because there's advantages and disadvantages to both sides.
On the topic of dress codes, was there a particular section of the student population, younger, middle, high school, that you focus on, or holistically the whole thing, or?
I would imagine we were thinking district-wide. Mm-hmm. I don't think, again, sometimes I fall into this all the time, which is we wouldn't want our hypothesis to, you know, I think we would look at what are districts doing in terms of dress code. So if I say, well, we would focus on the whole district, I don't know that that's really accurate to say. We would start our research by saying, what are districts doing, and report that some districts say it's only for, you know, at the high school mm-hmm. level, while little kids are fine. I think we would start by looking at what schools are doing, public schools particularly, because I think a lot of mm-hmm. parochial private schools do have dress codes. So mm-hmm. how is that being rolled out in public schools, and what is the effect? And if there were research to back up that you don't need a dress code at certain grade levels, we would certainly report on that.
Family of ours moved down to the Carolinas a number of years ago, and they actually instituted in their public schools, it was kind of the middle school years, between 6 and 8, which is when the students really kind of started developing that sense of awareness and what they would wear, and you know, feeling good about themselves by what they wear, seeing what other people are wearing and things like that. And that just starts to form and shape then. And then they did away with it after in high school. So it was interesting. It seemed like that, you know, it was positive down there, but again, that's how you guys really do the research and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other thoughts or direction?
No. Do you want us to kind of take a straw poll?
We should probably take some time and I think go through it.
We can even do it during board comments.
I don't need it right this moment, and if it turns out that you don't feel terribly strongly about any of the three or potentially four, you know, our group would be prepared to narrow that down. We talked a little bit about that too, about how we wanted to be careful about asking your input versus looking like a shill for the board, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The board picks a topic and we want you to research this, and we want to avoid any, we want to have input, because again, we don't want to waste time researching something that you all really are going to be like, that's going to sit on the shelf, or we already have somebody looking into that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's unreasonable to take some time and think about it and say, you know, all things equal, these are the topics we think have the most likelihood of us being able to act on or take an interest in. And sometimes, like the phone one, if you're like, no, we really don't have time to get to know, we want to know what's cutting edge right now. And we're not saying we're going to take any action, but we really need that research. I don't think that's unreasonable for us to say, we can do that. We can provide that to you without even a recommendation. Say, this is what districts are doing. But it would help to guide our work.
Andrew, one of the things, and just looking at it from what I'm hearing and what we're looking at inside our administrative meetings, is trying to engage the community more and step out and have our students play more of a role. One of the things that I've heard a lot about has been our service learning. We get requests from folks, the Historical Society or other places, asking for people to come and work from an application point of view on things that I would like to see us improve upon in general. I think that's something we already have in place that I would be curious to hear if we're using it as well as we can. And that's why are these listed in, based on your team, did you guys list this in order of what you felt was
Somewhat of a surprise move. We had our items, and then someone at the meeting kind of threw out, what about service learning? And then it wound up when we finally kind of voted and tallied up, that one came out strongly on top, with most of the group saying, yeah, service learning. We started the conversation with, well, the program's already in there and they're working with it too. We ought to research that. I think there's some pretty strong feelings about service learning and how it plays out. And what prompted the person to bring it up was talking to some of the groups that say, yeah, every time I try and get, the refrain you always hear from organizations, oh, we'll get the students at the high school, they need hours, let's get them. And then you can't get them for any number of reasons. And then stories kind of started going back and forth about, well, why is that, and what do the students, what's their obligation to report where they did their hours, and enough questions were raised that people said, yeah, we feel strongly about that.
Well, and it's taken a real turn from what it was initially. It was set up to be related to curriculum and the courses that they were taking. And I don't remember, it was already in place in 2012 when I came on the board. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what year is when Dr.
It would have been right about
that.
Originally bring it to us?
Yes. And so I remember Dr. Keenan saying, well, because I asked for clarification, what do you mean related? Well, if you're in biology, then you would go help clean up the stream and the bat, that. But it's totally taken a whole different course here. And I was just telling Dr. Goggin that my poor next-door neighbor, who's going to be a senior this year, had her service hours for this summer, and she lost her piece of paper with all of the signatures on it. And I said, in this day of digital, there's got to be a better way for them to keep track of those hours than these little slips of paper that get lost and crumpled up and folded up in jean pockets and go through the wash. So,
No, that's actually a good thing, because my son wound up doing four times the amount of service hours.
because
he kept losing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying
that's
going to
keep it.
That's a good thing. Yeah. So I like that topic, because I really do think
it could be time
could
for
be
us to just first of all
into.
Yeah, see where we are, what's going on, look at what is best practice out there in our neighboring districts and nationwide, and go from there.
I mean, to be perfectly frank, I think a lot of the feeling was that the service hours, again, originally tied to a curriculum or an opportunity to explain, this is what I learned from volunteering here, has kind of, a lot of it is, I need to get my hours as quickly as possible anywhere I can get them. And it's a matter of, you know, going somewhere and just signing the paper. That's the most critical thing.
Yeah.
And it felt like we should just revisit that and say, is it meeting the goals of the district? And with no agenda or angle to get rid of it, to keep it or anything, just is our program good for the district? And if so, how do you, you know, is there a model that makes sure that we're reaching the level?
Well, and just to piggyback off what you were saying, just because that was my experience with my daughter who was doing it, you know, toward the end, oh, where's my paper, and the stress. And I didn't see, you know, while I tried to engage into some reflective conversations about it, yeah, she wasn't really pleased with that. Mom, I just have to get my hours. So, you know, and I know the intention was to have some reflection and to have it connect to things and not just be this one-off kind of thing, so.
But on the other hand, I do think that our students are very service-oriented and community-minded.
They are.
By them doing some of this, at least the most of them, so there could be a good connection.
You're right, we do hear about it every year.
Yeah.
And I think what, as a board, what we many times hear is that there's the minimum. Mm-hmm. We continue to hear about those students actually on purpose that are getting three, four times the level of hours because they are reaching out to the community. So I am now intrigued. I do like number one. I know we'll discuss it.
Sure.
We'll think about it. But
and is it fair to say that Superintendent Goggin will get back to us?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and I will see you again in just a little bit.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.